Hey everybody, welcome to the Between the Lines podcast. I'm your host, Josiah Arcadipani. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is the first episode of many. I'm so blessed that I'm able to start this up. It's been a long time in the making, and praise God that I'm finally able to be able to do this. It's called the Between the Lines podcast for a couple reasons, but the main reason is I want to talk between the lines of sports and faith through this podcast. And, you know, I'm going to bring in some very special guests. Today we have a very special guest. I'm going to have him introduce himself.
My name is Tyler Blackwood, man. And first of all, I want to say thank you, Josiah, for having me on here, man. We've been trying to get this together for a little bit. I've been procrastinating like a lot to you, man. But thank you for having me on here. My name is Terry Blackwood. I'm from Cleveland, Alabama. And yeah, man, I'm just I play O-line at Bethel University, you know, with Josiah the kicker. And yeah, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for joining and doing this with me. So I'm just going to go, we're going to go into a time of just sharing our testimony. So I'll have you go first and then I'll go. So you can take it away, man.
Have you go first? All right. Thank you, man. So my testimony, man, it's, so it kind of opened my eyes a little more about the Lord. So it was about like, I think 2021, 2022, we was playing, I used to go to Springville, which is in Springville, Alabama. And we were playing a spring game down in Shades Valley High School. And this is my first time starting really for a football game. And so we got on the field for our first for my first football game ever starting, but my first spring game also. And then as a second play, my knee just – I tore a ligament in my knee. And then at that moment on the football field, man, I was just screaming, "Why, God?" Like, why me, man? Like, why? Like, you know, I had hatred for God. I had, like, dude, I didn't want nothing to do with the word of God. I really didn't. And then I went through a series of like, you know, figuring out if I need surgery or not, all that stuff. And I finally got surgery. But, like, during that time I had surgery, there was nothing I could do. Like, once an athlete overall has an injury, you know, there's like, it takes away their almost their whole basically life.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, you can't really function without your legs anyway, just as a normal human being. But like, if you're working at a desk and like that, you can. But as an athlete, you have to have your legs, or you have to have at least your body parts anyway. So there's really nothing I could do. And then, you know, my buddy, Shelton Burchett, he got me to a church, which I've been going to church all my life. But like, you know, he's my really good friend. I didn't see him 2 years before he got me to that church, and he's always been asking me, you know, come that Wednesday, and I was like, you know, can't, man, I got stuff going on. So I finally took a shot at it, and man, like that church that he brought me to, I've been going for 2 years, hadn't missed a day in 2 years. So I came at Bethel, and it was the best decision I made. But you know, once I got to that church, that pastor, for some reason, really connected with me. Like, he connected with me. The youth pastor connected with me, man. He's one of my best guys right now. And while at that church, the only thing I could do – so while I was at the church, I had surgery. And then the only thing I could do was just read Scripture, man. Just read Scripture. Yeah. And realize more, you know, I trusted God and everything, but kind of like when something happened, I was like, man, this is kind of, you're kind of worthless. You know, like, why are you doing this to me for, man? I pray for games. I do all this stuff for you. And then this happens to me. But then I realized, man, like, you ain't that. Stuff happens for reasons. Stuff happens because there's something in your life that's going to develop later down the road. And, Since I had surgery, and then like all I could do was read Scripture, I kind of understood it a little more. And while God was looking, and I found there are three verses that kind of stick out to me with this, and the one of them that kind of helped me with the journey I had was John 13:7, and it says, Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but you will understand later."
Yeah,
that right there, man. Like, you know, I guess I kind of didn't realize from my point of view. You know, that right there probably changed my reflection to God and probably brought me closer to God. Yeah. So without that injury, that I probably would never have understood truly what it means to come to God. Mm-hmm. And another one, if I can find it, is Romans 8:18, I believe. And it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? And then another one, I think it's 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
That's good.
So that right there, like I said before, if I read that before, I probably would have thought, well, man, I don't know this stuff. Why not? Why are you doing this to me now? But those verses I read before, John 13:7 and Romans 8:18, kind of shows you look, you're suffering right now, but don't worry about that. What's going on the road? You don't understand it now, but I will reveal it to you, and you'll be ecstatic about it.
Wow.
So I guess it's kind of baseline of it.
Wow. That, well,
what about you, man? Let's hear it.
That is powerful, and that just shows that, through it all, God is faithful. He's a faithful
God. Dude, God is so faithful, man. That right there just shows you, I guess I was blind. I was blind in the beginning. I was blind. I was blinded by, selfishness.
Yeah.
And then he turned me around.
Wow, that's so good, bro. And I'm so encouraged by your testimony.
I'm blessed, dude.
That's awesome, man. And for me, I know some of you might have heard my testimony, but for those who haven't, it's something that will reach some people. Every testimony has its own thing, and it will reach everyone in a certain way.
Oh yeah.
And I bet there will be some of you guys that resonate with this. So I grew up in a Christian household. My parents were pastors for 11 years, man, and it was good times. But I chose to basically live off my parents' faith.
Yeah.
And honestly, I chose to reject God, even though that my parents tried to speak life over me all day, every day, that they kept on loving me, even though I failed and I was stuck in sin, they still loved me. I was stuck in the things of the world, and it just led to anger, fear, anxiety, depression, mm-hmm. and even suicidal thoughts, man.
Wow.
And all throughout middle school, I dealt with bullying, and that led to all that, and especially the suicidal thoughts. And probably sixth and seventh grade, and maybe a little bit of eighth grade, was the time in my life where I was most suicidal, and I was so depressed and lost and anxious, and there was just a huge hole in my heart. And in eighth grade, I had my English teacher. She was so outspoken about her faith, bro. It was crazy. Yeah. And there was one day in the middle of the school year, bro, I was in math class,
mm-hmm.
and she called me out of math class for some weird reason. And I went over to her room, and there was no one in there, and I was kind of confused, why do you have me over here? And she's like, listen, the Lord gave me a verse for you. I just need you to take this and cherish it. And it was Proverbs 13, verse 20, which says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Bro, at that time, that spoke into my very situation. I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, getting into trouble, doing the wrong things. And that's what led to everything I was doing, bro. With the cussing, the disrespect mm-hmm. towards my parents, everything along those lines of sin, that was the root of the sin. That was the cause, was the people I was hanging out with. And that led to even doing things, behind the scenes that I shouldn't be doing, shouldn't be watching. And I took that verse and I acted on it. I truly made the decision to stop hanging out with the bad influences, the bad friends, right? And really everything changed. And it wasn't just magical, it happened in 1 second. I mean, it took time, but the Lord pruned my heart back to him over the course of probably 6 months.
Heck yeah.
And during that time, that's when all the sins started to die. And it's a sanctification process. It's not just 1 second. It takes time, but the Lord really did it in my heart. And after that, when I kept that sticky note she gave me, I still have it to this day, man.
And, heck yeah, man.
Dude, it's awesome. But so from that point, it was probably the beginning of my ninth grade year is when I really accepted the Lord into my life, and I started serving Him and living for Him, and I was on fire for the Lord. And so from that point, you know, I, for probably a year, I was on fire. Like, I was, nothing could stop me.
You were that new, just like been saved kind of guy.
Yeah, the freshly saved.
Fresh start, and like, you know, like everything's going great.
Yeah. That, it's the fresh fire. And it happened for probably like a year. Like, I was on fire for a year. And then I started to, you know, hit the rough patches where, you know, the valleys and the mountaintops and just everything in between. But through it all, like, I didn't stray away from the Lord. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so blessed that, like, the Lord has saved me from going through things that I could have went through.
Amen.
And through it all, like, I trusted in the Lord, even through the rough times. And, you know, there was times where, like, I was on the mountain top and it was mm-hmm. great. And then there was times where I was in the valley low. But then after probably a couple years, after, you know, the fire not went away, but after, you know, the season started, probably 11th grade was really when, I started to become really mature, like maturing in my faith. Like, I could see it myself start maturing. And, I could even see, like, the beginning of my senior year in high school is really when things, like, took off, where my mind completely, you know, changed. It was completely consecrated to the Lord, set apart to Him.
It was submitted into the spiritual instead of the flesh.
Yeah. And, man, what God did through my senior year was just amazing. And I was able to see lives change and transform and healings and all these crazy things, bro. Like, there's some crazy stories. But even coming into college now, to where I am, like, God filled that hole in my heart that was missing when I wasn't serving Him and I was just serving the world, and I put my identity in what the world, you know, thought about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what led to all that, you know, the anger, depression, the fear, anxiety, the suicidal thoughts, all that comes from putting your identity in the things of the world. And that's what I had, like, my identity in the things of this world. And then the Lord picked me up out of that, and He took me to this place where it was just Him and nothing else. And I felt whole, restored, found. It was amazing, bro. And you're going to be ready for this. It's the saying that.
It's
I love this saying. I said it.
He said it about 8,000 times, but right. Man, it's the best saying. Like, it really is.
It's so good. And I've said it probably in every time I've given my testimony. So probably a lot, but it's, God does not call the equipped, but He equips the called. And I feel like it could be cliche, but at the same time, it's so true.
It's
and
I'm so
continue
true.
To say it.
There's a lot of stuff that sounds cliche, but man, like the culture, having a good culture, it sounds so cliche, but man, that's the thing that puts people together.
Yeah, and so that's what I had to learn. Like, even with the disciples, like, none of them were equipped at all. They were the least thing from equipped. But
Noah
Jesus
was a drunkard.
Still, what?
Noah was a drunkard.
Yeah.
Noah was a drunkard. I can't remember anything off the top of my head. Who else?
Yeah, you're good, man.
No,
yeah.
Paul is Saul. Mm-hmm. Saul then Paul. Saul was killing everyone. Killing Christians. They're like rounding them up and killing them. Like, Jesus, like, hey.
So, that line is very, very powerful, and it means something to me. So even, you know, going from that place, knowing that, like, I don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus. He's the one that cleans me, and He will still use a broken sinner like me. And that's all part of the sanctification process, where you're broken and Jesus, you know, pulls you right back to Him and mends your heart back together in Him and through Him. And that's, you know, what I've seen. And now I'm just in the place where I'm just growing in my faith, and I'm just on that steady path, even, you know, from the senior year of high school and seeing all those amazing things happen. And even to being right now where I'm just like, slowly going up in my faith with Christ, and things will come, but through it all, He's faithful.
Always.
And even in your story, you know, he's been faithful to you. He's been faithful to me. He might do things that, you know, sometimes we question, or like, why would you do that, God? But God will not just leave you in the dust.
Right.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll always be with you. And that's the thing that I'm learning right now.
Again,
it's so good.
John 13:7, you know, Man, I understand now, but you will later. And I was gonna say, you know, with your story, dude, like with that, with your teacher coming in, it's amazing how God uses people to bring other His other children to Him. You know, and it's very obvious in your story, like, you know, that he saw that you could, but you are a good. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know the exact way to put it, but you're a good soul. And he knows how to save you, or yeah. how to get you. Mm-hmm. He knocked at your heart.
Yeah. That's good, man. Yeah. So, that's, I guess, the gist of my testimony and yours. So I guess we're going to go into, just probably one question for this podcast. And I just want to ask you, Taylor, what has the Lord done in your heart this mm-hmm. first semester of college?
What has He done in my heart, man? You know, it's just being when you're at home, you know, from Cleveland, Alabama, it's a small town country. But from where you, you know, from like being in Florida, at your, you know, at Florida has more cities than, I guess, country, you know?
Yeah.
And from being there or whatever. It just showed that when I got here at McKenzie, like I'm saying what I'm saying before wasn't really it, but what I'm saying is that like when I got so what God showed me in my heart this first semester was, how many people are lost really, you know, when you're from a small kind of community you kind of know everybody, mm-hmm. and yeah. all your that's kind of your friends and your friend circle. And you know, you see what they doing, and like you're like, well, you kind of forget, like, wow, like this person was saved, and like then you go out somewhere else where you've never been, and then like, wow, there's a lot of people that's actually not saved. You know, you kind of see the more outer look of it, and he just put a burning in my heart to kind of like, you know, like he says in the Bible, spread the word to all creatures, and yeah. to all living things, and it's just, and he puts a burning in my heart to see how many people are lost and doesn't know. Just know Jesus Christ, and it's just kind of again just trying to change the reality or my vision of how do you see things.
That's good. That's good, man.
What about you?
Wow, that's good. Yeah, man, the Lord has done a lot of things in my heart this semester, but the thing that I've seen Him do the most. Is allow me to be patient and give mercy. Yeah. There, so, you know, obviously coming from South Florida, you know, living with my family all my life. And I mean, you know, every family has their own struggles, but it was, you know, good. I love my family and they love the Lord and it's easy to live with them and it's great. But then coming here and being in a suite with seven other guys and having a roommate and, you know, them being up super late and having friends over and being loud and blaring music. And, you know, even hearing guys down the hall running down the halls, chasing each other at 3 a.m., like things like that. And I'm the type of person where like, I just need peace and quiet. Like I know maybe everyone would say that, but truly like, there, I can get agitated like when people are like doing things like that pretty easy.
Oh, yeah, you can.
I need you're funny. No, not really anymore, but I need peace and quiet to be able to sleep. That's a big thing for me. To be able to sleep, I need peace and quiet. When I'm reading my word and I'm in prayer, I need peace and quiet. And for the first three and a half months of being here, you know, I was in that suite, and I was still faithful to the Lord, and I didn't give in to letting the anger, you know, control me, mm-hmm. and then acting on it. I didn't let that happen. But what I did was just stay in the word and stay in prayer and say every day it was a constant surrender. It was like, okay, Lord, this keeps on happening, but I'm going to keep on surrendering it to you and keep on showing people what it means to be a Christ follower. And that's what I've had to do. And those 3.5 months were probably one of the hardest 3.5 months of my life. I mean, cause that's my living situation every day. It's an everyday thing. And there was other factors about it too. And even with, you know, there's certain things in football I'll talk about in a minute, but the Lord really blessed me. And, you know, now I'm in my own room in the suite and there's literally nobody else in here right now. And I'm so blessed that, like, you show your faithfulness to the Lord and don't even expect him to really bless you back, but he will, because he's just that good of a father.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he did to me. He knew my heart. He knew what the desires of my heart were. And he knew that I did desire to draw closer to him. And I was still doing that in the other suite. Mm-hmm. But here, now where it's peaceful and quiet, I'm able to read the word and be in prayer and shut my door knowing that there's no one listening to me. And it's just me and him. Now I get to really spend that quiet time with the Lord. And I'm so blessed to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And with football, man, I mean, it's really with both of us. But with me specifically, you know, coming in, obviously I'm a kicker, coming in and not knowing how many other kickers there were going to be. And there ended up in total, I think, being seven kickers and punters. And it was, that kind of blew my mind. I was like, really? And at first I was pretty mad. You know, first couple of weeks, I was like, God, like, I came here. I thought this was going to be different, blah, blah, blah. But I had to really surrender that to the Lord. And, you know, fast forward to the end of the season, you know, I redshirted and I didn't play this year. But I, throughout the probably from week two on in the season, I really let it go and gave it to the Lord. And I literally said, okay, Lord, your plan is better than my plan.
Yeah,
so I'm not gonna worry about it. So that's really what I did. And now, and you know, there will be moments of like, why didn't I make this field goal in practice, or why did they choose him over me? There's so much things that go on, and there's nothing towards anybody else. But, you know, in my mind, there were some thoughts like that. But the Lord had to really teach me patience, and especially like a long-suffering patience where it's like, you know, you're redshirting, you're not playing this year. You're going to have to, you know, grind out the rest of the season and stay faithful to your craft, your work, especially for me, you know, kicking, it's a craft, man. And like knowing that I'm going to have to, you know, grind all off season and, you know, come back strong and, you know, put myself up there to be able to, you know, play. But fast forward to the end of the season, I see now what God was trying to do. Like genuinely not having to travel with the team and some of the things I probably would have had to do if I was playing, the Lord instead provided ministry opportunities for me to go up with friends and go to conferences and hear speakers and all these different things. And that not playing this year helped me grow my faith tremendously, especially with a part of, you know, going and hearing speakers going to conferences and going to different church events and serving and doing different things I would not have been able to do if I was playing. And I'm actually like blessed that the Lord did that, because, you know, you may not understand now, right? Just like,
man, I understand now,
but you'll know, you'll understand later. And
you got to remember that God works in all goodness.
Yeah. He works all things out for the good.
And like, there's one thing that I forgot, as I'll say before, but like, you know, when you said your testimony, you was talking about, you know, it didn't happen right then. That's one thing that you have to realize. You can't – my youth pastor said this really good, and I can't remember how he put it, but it was here. You can't – you can't fit God in your timeline, but you got to fit yourself in God's timeline.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, you can't rush God's work. God's work – and it's just – it doesn't happen for you. It happens for everyone. Like, you know, like you may see results for you, but it's not just for you, man. Like, no, it's for everyone.
Good.
It's just not. But you can't rush. You can't rush God's work, man. It's beautiful.
Wow.
And it takes time. And like me, man, coming in for football, I was humble, man. I was really humble. If coach gave me a spot, man, I was humble for it. And then like, it didn't happen. It didn't turn out like that. But it's okay. I'm gonna come back next year, and it's gonna be fine. And if it ever happened again, man, it is what it is. I'm just going to work, and I know God will provide me a way. He'll provide.
That's good, man. That's really good. So I guess if you want to just share a a little bit about what ministry opportunities you've had over this semester. It doesn't have to be you being a leader in a certain program, but what has God allowed you to do to be able to witness to others? Like your friends, or even when you're hanging out, like what has God allowed you to do to speak to others?
It just kind of, there's three people specifically this year, and just oscillate, you know, I just kind of, God just let me, he gave thoughts to my mind and gave words to my mind and let me oscillate myself with them people and just talk about, you know, have you accepted his son for your savior? And yeah. I mean, just hearing their backstory and hearing that stuff, it's amazing to see how blessed you are. And when with that just right there, you sitting down and specifically talking to a person about their backstory and about everything, it kind of shows you, like, man, it's amazing how God works. But everyone comes from a different place. Everyone really does.
Yeah.
And it just, again, you know, it just shows how God works in different situations to bring it together for the same cause. But another one, man, just posting on my, so I have a thing, the Trinity Baptist Youth Talk Show. It's on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Again, just posting on that also, and then just sharing with our football team and everything else. And also, you know, we have a thing here called CMI.
Yeah.
Also, kind of, you know, speaking in CMI, not telling a sermon or anything like that, but just like for after discussion, talking about that stuff, man. It just like, and maybe there's someone in there that, like, I mean, you spoke in there too, but like after talks, and there may be someone in there that is not saved yet, or you know, hasn't heard the word the way we've spoken it.
Yeah, that's good.
And those right there are kind of the ministry opportunities I kind of had this semester.
That's good, man. Yeah, I love that. And, you know,
I know you've had a lot.
Yeah, I'll share that in a sec. But, you know, I definitely, you know, seeing God use you in ways to impact people and, you know, even, you know, sticking out in a crowd, you know, which is what you want to do as a Christian, because you should be countercultural. And I believe, you know, you're doing that. And you just gotta keep on going, man. Because God's got a lot in store for you, especially even next semester, just growing with Him and having more ministry opportunities.
And one thing that, you know, I've heard back home people say is, I have a what's it called? Somebody told me while I was back home, I have an aura about me, about positivity or whatever. And like God also kind of puts, you know, like there's a thing in the Bible, I can't remember what it is, but like, you have gifts, gotcha. And like I guess, like, you know, I have a good, like, I brighten people's day or something like that. That's what people have told me.
That's awesome. But
like, God can also use your character. He's used definitely mine to maybe brighten somebody's day up.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I see that too. I see it, man.
I try.
Yeah. I would say I'll share some ministry opportunities I've had this semester. So a couple things to, I guess, you want to say, start off. God is really, He really has blessed me this semester, and not, you know, coming to college, not actually knowing at all, like, what it was going to be like, mm-hmm. or what was going to happen. But I really got plugged in right away, which is great. After like 3 weeks, of being here, you know, everything kind of opened up. You know, I got the chaplain spot for freshman SGA. So I'm the chaplain for freshman SGA. I'm a leader for FCA, one of the leaders there. And I'm not, so there's a, you know, study here called, you know, ministry studies. Right. And I'm not actually part of the classes for that, but for the Tuesday chapels, they have me with their prayer team. So I've been able to be up there with the prayer team and be able to pray for people. And it's been such a blessing. And,
it's good seeing you up there. It's really good seeing you up there. You know, when they call for like or the prayer team to come down there and, like, you know, pray with people, man. It's really good seeing them come and them confess and you praying with them. You know, it's a stronger bond with God.
Amen, man. That's awesome. Yeah, and for the freshman SGA thing, for what I do with that is it's not much. But, you know, when we have our meetings, I'll, you know, open and close with prayer. So that's kind of what I do with that. And then, you know, being a leader for FCA, you know, helping plan all the events and, you know, I'll help, you know, open with prayer or, you know, lead one of the games or do a little talk or something like that, or lead a small group after. That's been a true blessing to be, you know, part of FCA. And another thing, you know, being part of Overflow Church here in town, it's been such a blessing, man. The ministry opportunities are endless with Overflow.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I've been able to see so many lives change through Overflow, and God even using me through, you know, being in that place, you know, opportunities to go out and evangelize, and you know, it's different, man. Just, you know, seeing people there on fire for the Lord has encouraged me, and that's even encouraged me to come back to this campus. And you know what I've, you know, been able to do this semester is just pray with people, man, and just meet new people and be able to share the love of Christ with them. And it's just, you know, whether it's in the lunchroom, I remember, I don't know, I'll shout them out, I guess. The one day I was in the lunchroom and I like didn't really know Lyndon much at all.
Yeah.
But like I just felt led to like pray with him. And then he was talking about how he had like high blood pressure and things like that. And be able to pray with him and then, you know, be able to see him, you know, in chapel and come up and get prayer and be able to pray with him even later in the semester and see what the fruit of what God did in the beginning of the semester with certain people and then see the fruit of it later. It's been really cool. And I've been able to, you know, minister to a lot of people and, you know, I was able to share, you know, my testimony and then a little story along with that at, you know, Thursday chapel a couple of weeks ago.
Communion,
it was a blessing to do that.
It was a blessing to hear it.
I appreciate that, bro. But yeah, I mean, there's so much that God has done, and I want to see, even, you know, through the next semester, just see God do exceedingly and abundantly even more. And that's, it comes from a place of seeking him more and his kingdom first, which I know I talked to my parents about that. And right now that's kind of the word for me. It's like, I have to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness right now more than anything, because, you know, I can't afford to have distractions because, you know, when God wants to use you for something like this, there can't really be distractions and there can't be setbacks, and it has to be you, you know, fully seeking the Lord. And it's not in just word and what you talk, but it's the way you live. And I've been trying to do this semester is be, and it's not even out of a place of pride, but it's out of a place of love for the Lord, that I just want to live for him and like him. And so, you know, as Christians, I fully believe that we don't need to just necessarily talk and keep on talking, but we need to act. And that will be something that is going to impact people's lives a lot more than just talking, is acting, especially on a college campus, is that kids want to see. If you're like, yeah, Jesus loves you, it's going to do a lot more to them when they actually see you acting like that later.
Oh yeah.
And that's what I've seen from kids on this campus, is the way that they react to that. And when they actually see people that live for Jesus, they'll come up to you and they'll actually be curious. They'll be like, yeah, so you were talking about Jesus, right? And you were praying. So what's that Jesus guy like? And that's what I've seen through this semester, and through not even just me, but, you know, even, you know, through you and through other people, especially even at Overflow, like seeing lives changed and, you know, people maturing in their faith. And it's just been, it's been really cool, bro. There's been so much God has done.
Oh yeah. Like you said, you're talking about, you know, you need to act like, I saw this thing. It's like, you know, you pray for a hole, you know, God's gonna give you a shovel. I mean, he's not gonna do everything for you.
Yeah.
You got to do stuff yourself. Like, you know, and that's the reason you had so many opportunities, because you acted on what God's gave you.
That's good.
You know, you really didn't sit around and just, you know, poke a stick at it and like, you know, hey man, like, well, come on, do some more. No. He's like, God, thank you for this. I will act on it. And then God's not going to make you do it all by yourself. He's going to help you, definitely. But like, you actually have to pull your weight.
Yeah.
You definitely have to do that.
That's good, man. That's good.
Oh yeah. It's good. You know, like every time I hear your testimony, man, like it inspires me. It really does. And like, you know, I mean, my parents put me in church a lot too. And I also stay in church a lot. I went to preschool church. I went to Vacation Bible School all the time. Stuff, but I guess it didn't click with me. And then I guess God led me to one friend that kind of like, you know, showed me like, hey, like this is always, like, he talked about it a different way. Yeah.
That's good.
And we're just blessed, man.
That's awesome. I appreciate it, bro.
And there's one thing I can't remember the Bible verse. I was over here thinking about it. But it's like my soul, it's somebody my spirit's in you, so they should see me within you. I can't. Yeah. It's something like that. I want to quote it like word by word, but I can't remember it. But yeah, man. Like, you know, we should be. Like, we really should be. And that's the thing about Christians. Like, some Christians, like, you know, like, we're like just they go out there and kind of act two ways. You can't do that. And I'm gonna admit it. I definitely fall victim to that. But like, you know, I mean, I got better myself.
Yeah,
but, like,
you can't serve two masters.
Do what now? Can't serve two masters, yeah. And it's hard. It really is hard. Like I said, I feel. I mean, we all felt the flesh, and I felt to it more. I need more. I felt to it a lot this year. I'll just say that I felt to it a lot, but still, you can't serve two masters, and that's the thing. Like, you can't, can't at all, and it'll tear you apart.
Yeah,
it will.
And so this is kind of funny because you know I've already been through some rough times. Like, I was talking about my testimony, and I was like, you know, I've heard a couple times this semester where, you know, people, I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm here on mission. I'm here to serve the Lord and make Jesus' name known. And I keep on hearing this, and I keep on not receiving this because this is completely a lie from the enemy. But there's people that are like, yeah, you know, and it's great you're doing that, but, you know, I kind of was the same way or whatever, but, you know, maybe, you know, sometime along your journey in college, you're probably going to fall off and then come, you know, back to God. It kind of just happens like that. But I'm here to say I rebuke that in Jesus' name, and that is not what's going to happen. And I fully believe that when you do put your faith in Jesus and you seek him, and there's a difference. You seek him, you find him, you're in your word, you're in prayer, but you have community around you. That bond with God will not break.
No, it won't. Yeah, it will never break.
It's a lie, and I had to address that because that was something kind of weighing on my heart because, you know, I've heard that, and I'm just, like, sitting here like, no way.
I just agreed to that. I heard differently. My bad.
No, you're good. You're good. So I don't know. I just wanted to say that because, like, that's something I heard, and even if you're listening to this and you're in college, that's not the way it has to be. This is – when you're in college – you shouldn't expect to just fall off and resort to a different life and then come back to Jesus at some point. That's not how it works. You don't have to have that same quote-unquote testimony as everyone else where it's like you were following Jesus in college and then you fell away and then you came back to him and, oh, hallelujah. You don't have to have that. You can go to college following Jesus through the whole time. Leave college following
Jesus.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
It is very hard.
But it's doable.
Yes, it is.
With all things, Christ is.
Oh, yeah.
You do things all through Christ.
Yeah, it's not even just doable. Like, you can and you will do it if you stay on track. And the big thing that I want to encourage anyone listening is you have to have community around you. This is the number one thing I hear from so many people is that they were around bad influences and they couldn't trust themselves. And because, you know, they got tempted, they just fell right in. And it's the point of you have to have someone to hold you accountable. Oh, yeah. As a Christian, you should have friends and people that can hold you accountable. That will keep you in line with Jesus. So if anyone's listening, it's like, well, I've been kind of falling in, or I did, and I kind of still am, and, like, I don't know how to get out. It just doesn't make sense. You have to find someone that is mature in their faith that could mentor you, be your accountability partner.
Oh, yeah.
And it needs to come from a place of a pure heart and wanting to get better, not just so it sounds good or looks good. It's going to be dirty and it's going to stink because, you know, you're holding each other accountable for things that you kind of, your flesh wants to keep on doing, but Jesus is saying no. And that it stings, but you have to do it.
If you
really want to, you know, grow in your faith, especially growing in your faith, not just staying stagnant, but growing, you really have to get that accountability in that community. So for anyone that's listening, go find that community. If you have that one friend that you know is, like, on fire for the Lord and, like, really is mature in their faith, go to them. You can, you know, have an accountability partner. Talk to them about what you're going through. And you will see things change. Yeah, and if you're also – maybe you're like, I don't necessarily have that friend. I don't know those people. Go – and if you're not in a church, go find a church. And in a church, you need to go find someone that's, you know, maybe older – matured, maybe, you know, maybe married, maybe, you know, I'm not going to put an age on it, but, you know, older, and someone that you trust that you can say, hey, and first off, the whole goal of you saying this isn't so that they can punish you or make fun of you or tell your parents or tell people what you're doing. The whole point is that you can go up to them and say, hey, I'm struggling right now. I need help. And I'm just wondering if you could basically take me under your wing and help me. Yeah. And those people, if they truly love the Lord, they should want to help you. They should be like, yes, like, you know, let's meet out for lunch 2 times a week and I could help, you know, mentor you or disciple you.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that are what's going to help. Even it's not just for college, high school, I don't know, middle schoolers. I don't think middle schoolers are listening to this, but if you are, it goes for you too. All heck ages. Yeah. All ages, man. But yeah, whoever's listening, just that is a big, big thing if you want to grow in your faith. And so, yeah, man, do you have any last thoughts about what we talked about?
Man, there's this one thing I want to say, man. If you're listening to this right now and you're having trouble, and I'm trying to find the thing right now. It's in Psalms. If you're listening right now, you're in trouble, and you think God's left you, man.
Is it Psalms 23?
It's not Psalms 23, but that is a good one. Which let me find it, and you know it by heart. Go ahead and say it.
Psalms 23.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Go ahead and say it, because I'm trying to look for the other one.
Is that what it is?
No, but ahead.
Well, I guess while he's finding that, definitely Psalms 23 is something to, you know, keep in your heart. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you, Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then, you know, there's the rest of the chapter, which is great. But if you want to hold on to something, hold on to that first part. It's really good. And that's honestly refreshing to the soul, man.
Oh, no, it definitely is, man. And I think I found it. I think it's Psalms 139. Okay. And I think David. Yeah, definitely David. Let's see.
Let's see, man. He's cooking up something.
I'm trying to. Okay, I think I found it. So it says, where can I go from your spirit? Mm. Where can I flee from your presence?
Yeah.
If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast.
Wow.
Dude, it shows that God's everywhere. God is really everywhere. He cannot leave you. That's one thing that I do not have a problem with, is seeing God in everything. See, like right now, my grandmother is in the hospital right now, and like she's had a stroke, and she's been sick for a while, but I know through every battle and through everything that she's going through, God is still going to be there with her. It's still going to be with her. And you know, even if, like, God forbid something happens to her, like she passed away, God's still be there for me. He's never going to leave. You know, you can't, like if I've grew in that right there a lot, about knowing that God's there all the time. And, I don't have a trouble of knowing that God isn't there. You know, I don't have that trouble. And if you're having trouble with your walk right now, and you know, you don't see God in anything like that, man, just read that verse. Read some time in the scripture. Shoot, I looked it up a while ago about some verses. Like, you know, where it talks about God will never leave you. It says right here in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And again, from Psalms 23, it connects to Psalms 23, yeah. You know.
And Joshua 1:9.
Let's see.
That's good. And Joshua 1:18.
Where's another one? Joshua 1:5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. That's all of it. But yeah, no one will be able to stand against you. What's it called? All days of your life. Wait.
Joshua 1:9.
And then as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Yeah. God's told many people God has told many people he chose like he will never leave them. Like, you know, some of them were scared that, you know, like they couldn't do the task that God was doing for them. But, you know, he's like, hey, I got you. I'm never going to leave you. And I'm there beside you, and I will help you all the way through.
Yeah.
And let's go to Joshua 1:9 real quick. Before we do that, Psalm 16:8. I know the Lord is always with me. And I will be, that's David again. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. And then Matthew 28:20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And let me go to Joshua 1:9.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Let's go, Joshua 1:9. We're cooking here, guys.
Man, he's got all the scripture.
Joshua 1:9. And Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you everywhere you go, man. And there's so many verses in there that just shows you that God is always with you. You may think that God is far away from you. And also, there's one thing that I've heard, I think, from Billy Graham that said, you know, he was talking about his mother at one sermon he was talking about. And he was telling his mother, I don't feel God right now. I don't feel God with me. And then, like, I think he said something about, like, you know, that if you don't feel God with you, he may be testing you. He may be testing you a little bit. And, you know, if he's testing you, man, just stay firm in the faith. Stay firm. Yeah. Build your faith and foundation on rocks instead of sand.
Yeah.
For, you know, it says, I think it's Matthew 24. Remember it. But
you're good, man.
But Matthew 24, somewhere in there says that that build your house on a rock. You build a fool will build his house on sand and will wash away. And it's talking about the wind, the rain, everything. Well, if the wind, it will wash away. Well, the wind and everything is all everything coming towards you is from the enemy. And if you build your faith on a weak foundation, well, it'll wash away. So if you build your faith on rocks, and all the stuff comes hurling towards the enemy, it won't wash away. It'll stay firm. It'll be submitted to it.
Yeah, that's good.
It's like Job. Job, man, he was there's a lot of stuff happening to Job. Man, even his wife said, "Curse God." Curse God and die.
Yeah, and that's what his wife said.
Sickness, man, and everything, and he was firm. He stayed firm in his faith.
That's good, man. And yeah, I just want to say, you know, thank you for, you know, coming on the podcast. This is the first one, and I hope that it blessed all of you guys that are listening. This is my boy Taylor Blackwood. So if you guys could just appreciate him, thank you again, man. You are awesome.
And, I'm blessed. Thank you. I'm blessed, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I'm gonna, you know, close out with a word of prayer.
I'm gonna do one thing. I told you this before the podcast started.
Okay.
And it's the word I told you, the verse of the day or so like that, man.
Yeah.
So it's Matthew 6:21, and it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be."
That's good.
Oh wait, will be also.
That's good.
That verse speaks volumes.
Yeah, definitely take that and think about that, because that, yeah, like you said, it does speak volumes. It's good.
Put your treasure in the Bible, and your heart will be there also.
Yeah.
God's good, man.
That's awesome, man.
God's really good.
I appreciate you, bro. Thank you for, you know, the wisdom you brought and everything you shared. So let's close out with a word of prayer.
Heck yeah.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time that me and Taylor were able to share, you know, bits and pieces of our lives and, you know, some wisdom. Lord, I ask that you would touch everyone that is listening to this podcast, Lord, that they would be affected by the words that were said, and specifically your words, Lord. I pray that it would pierce their heart, Lord, and they would leave listening to this podcast different than the way they came in to this podcast. I ask that you would touch all of their lives. I pray that you would bring peace that makes no sense, peace that would cover their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. It would cover over all of them, Lord, that you would take away all the fear and anxiety, Lord, that they would put their hope, their trust, their faith, their identity in you and not in the things of this world, because it will just leave them empty, Lord. But you, O Lord, will fill our cup and make it overflowing. So I just thank you for that, Lord. I praise you. I ask that you would just bless Taylor, Lord, and bless his situation, bless his family, bless, you know, travels back home for him over this break, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. You are such a good, good father. It's just who you are. Amen. And I just thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So go bless everybody. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for episode 2.
Oh, yeah.